make a start. So, hello. I'm Maddie Mae Gomez. Before we begin today, first I'd like to acknowledge that we're meeting on Noongar land, and we want to pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging, and also the continuing contribution they make to life in the city and the region. The emergency exits are through that door that you just came out of and around the corner, just right through there if you need them. We three are part of the Young Boxing Woman Project, and we've actually got three generations here today. So I'm Manny. I'm the youngest generation. So I go participate in the classes. So there's Monday and Thursday classes that I go to when I'm free at Subiaco, and I do some boxing and some discussing. And then the next level in the generations is Shanali. So Shanali, what's your role?
Do I say what I do? So I started just like Manny. I went into one of the classes 3 years ago. And then loved it so much, I kept going, and eventually started training the classes and taking over the classes, and now run programs in schools, and am an impact strategist with the Young Boxing Women Project. So I'm the next generation of YBW. And then there's Lisa, who is our founder at the first generation.
Yeah. And that's your role, hey?
Hang out as the first generation.
Okay, so in a session, there's some boxing for about 45 minutes to an hour. Am I right, guys? And then we do 30 minutes to 45 minutes of discussion, and we just talk about different topics each week, which Shanali or whoever's facilitating the session comes up with. Oh yeah, Lisa, what other stuff does YBW do?
We have four different programs. So we have the one that these girls attend, which is open to anyone, it's free. Community center, if you're a girl between the ages of 12 or 24, you can come along on Mondays or Thursdays. We have one of those in Subiaco, one in Coburn, and one in the PCYC in Midland. We also have school programs that run in a term, so usually between 8 and 10 weeks. And they have, so these ones are more of a free form discussion in the second half. The school ones are a more targeted workshop around mental wellness, consent, all the good things. Lots of feminism snuck in there.
Awesome.
And we also have an adult one, which runs on Sundays. So that's the paid for one. And adult women are paying for that in a one for one for creating the free spaces that younger women can come to.
Cool. The first question I wanted to ask you, Lisa, is what's the goal of the project?
Just to create an army of women, please. Secretly. the goal of the project is I wanted to create what I wished I'd had when I was younger. I wish I could have come along to this. It took me a very long time to realize that I was allowed to be loud and obnoxious and just really forceful in my opinions and views, and that I could call out what I was seeing. So I wanted to create a space that told women, you're fine. I know that all of society is telling you you're wrong and you need to be quieter and you need to change everything about you and very literally take up less space, as little space as possible with your voice and with your body. But actually, we're going to call bullshit on all of that.
Yeah. So why did you choose boxing?
Because I wanted to do it when I was young and my mom wouldn't let me because it wasn't for girls.
Oh, gross.
Okay, cool.
So do you have examples of the goals being achieved? What do you reckon? Are we
the goals? We are the goals.
Cool. I think the fact that Shanali and Claire, who's here, have not only started as participants, worked up to be peer mentors to take over the Subiaco group, and are now paid employees in our school groups, but are now training the next generation of peer mentors, for me, that's the greatest marker of success.
Awesome. And Shanali, why is it so great to exercise with other young women to empowering pop music?
Great question. So I was quite a athletic and, sporty girl growing up. I did a lot of sport in school. And then I found that when I graduated school, I kind of stopped doing that. And I didn't realize how much of an effect that would actually have. I just didn't have, a sporting team to go to or anything sporty in my life. And then when I went back, when I did boxing for the first time, it was just like having that constant, you know, exercise, I suppose, or movement had such a great effect on my personal life. I was doing my thesis at the time and spending a lot of time in the library just sitting and reading and being like really non-active. And then it actually helped so much with my studies as well. And I kind of realized that this is a great thing, I need to keep doing it. But I think what really brought me, kept me coming back to the project was exercising together with a group of women to empowering pop music, because there was something very easy about doing that. It didn't feel like a chore, it didn't feel like something that I had to, you know, there was never a day when I was like, oh, I don't want to go to boxing. Like, I always wanted to go, even if I was feeling sore and tired, I wanted to see my friends. And it's really hard to like see your friends regularly after school, which you find out quite soon when you graduate school and you don't see everyone every day anymore. And it was nice to be able to do all those things at once. So to catch up with friends, to feel like do something to take care of yourself, and also to be getting, you know, exercise and being healthy and being well, all of those things in one. Yeah, I think there's something really powerful about that combination.
Also, I think the fact that the focus is on having fun and enjoying, like moving for enjoyment and feel-good factor, rather than we're here to get a beach body or to, you know, burn calories and you're just going to go hard and fast. We're all there to have a good time and to work out, because it is fun. It is quite fun to work out.
Cool.
Good answer.
Okay. Do you reckon that YVW creates a space that's lacking today in young women's lives, either of you guys?
I think so, yes. So I very quickly noticed how the way I viewed my body and how I talked about my body and how I talked to other friends, how much kinder and more, I suppose, positive I was about my body and women's bodies in general, how that changed once I started boxing. And then I started to pick up, like, I would hang out with the girls that came to boxing and we would have these great conversations about our bodies and, you know, about taking up space and about calling out misogynistic, you know, comments and all of these things. And then I'd hang out with my friends outside of boxing and I'd suddenly be noticing all these, like, you know, horrible things people were saying about themselves, and often very unconsciously, you know, they were just kind of, it was so normalized, putting yourself down or being critical about the way you looked or even being critical about other women. And I kind of noticed that very quickly when I started doing the boxing. Sorry, I forgot your question. Repeat the question. Got caught up in the answer.
Does it create a space that's lacking?
Yes. So I think that space is lacking, although I do think it's probably improved in the last, I don't know, 20-ish years with the way the media talks about women's bodies. And we've made some progress, but definitely it still is. When I step out of the boxing space and I look at the way women talk about their bodies and talk to each other, I think there's a space lacking, or there's a discussion or a language that's lacking that we have in boxing.
When you look at the survey that just came out about the biggest issues that are facing youth right now, two big ones are loneliness and mental health. And mental health is hugely affected by lack of physical activity, lack of support networks, and lack of friends and connection. So I think that because it has that element of, yes, you're working out and getting physical, but it's also a very strong community and support and a safe space. So I think everyone that's come has said at one time or another, there's not many spaces in your life where you can have really difficult, complex conversations. I think on Monday we're talking about how I'm continually struggling, trying to find the balance between calling out what I see in sort of the corporate work I do around sort of privilege and race, and not wanting to just kind of be haranguing people, wanting it to be a dialogue and to not get people to be offensive. So there's not many spaces you can have that conversation, especially if you're maybe not in the social justice area, just as a normal everyday person. So I think it has a really sort of twofold effect in that it creates connection and it gives people a space to talk about things. We've had people talk about abusive relationships, about difficulties with home life, and about really cool things, like I'm excited about the job I'm going for, I'm moving out of home for the first time, I'm going to try for something. So
yeah,
I think it's a good space.
Yeah, it's a good space. And we also talk about sometimes like issues that affect women only, and if you're not in a group like us, then it's hard to talk about this stuff so freely, I reckon.
Okay. With the discussions, I kind of see them like as tips or inspiration to like live my best life. Like one time we talked about like because there's like a couple of women in the group who work in like corporate world, the corporate world, and we were talking about how it's like sucks and how to make it. not like for women.
Just in general.
And how like how they were like, we want to make it less sexist, but they were saying like, oh, but we can't do that until we get higher up. Mm. And it was a cool discussion. And another time we were talking about like you were saying, how to handle other people talking about putting themselves down all the time. And that was just so cool to get all this input from so many different people. Yeah.
And so looking for strategies. That was the one we were looking, asking people if they had any strategies they used when their friend or just a stranger would put themselves down.
Yeah.
And trying to find a way, because you don't want to be like, no, don't do that. And you don't want to engage with that, because women will come up, oh, I wish I had such nice hair like you, or I wish I could wear that, my body's wrong for it, and wanting to be nice but also wanting to call it out and stop that behavior. Yeah. So how can we do that? So if anyone has like a solution, throw it out there, because we're still working on that.
I just think it's so cool to get all this group of people together and come up with ideas about stuff. Another time we're talking about systemic inequality and stuff. What's the intent behind choosing these topics? Is it all like the goal?
Do you want to go first?
The second half, the talking half, is participant led. So there is no intent from me as far as what I want the topic to be. There is an intent to create a space where you can bring up whatever is confronting you in your life right now. So my intent is just to create a space that is safe and where there's no judgment and you can say whatever you need to say, and then the topics come from the people. So you'll notice all of those topics were brought up by a different person that was attending. So it's whoever is on the night, and we started it by just throwing it out there and saying, what made you angry this week? And it's just, that's where most of them start, with someone being like, so annoyed when this happened or this, you know. And it's not as negative as that sounds. It's quite a positive, because we're looking for a solution as to how you would handle it.
Mm. Yeah, like from the trainer point of view, it's often I will open the group up. Like the question after the group is there anything that, you know, you want to talk about this week, anything that really annoyed you? And sometimes someone will have an experience that they want to share and they'll talk about it. But quite often if that happens, or if that doesn't happen, or there's nothing that the girls really want to talk about, I just go to examples from my life. I'll think about what annoyed me this week, or like, what do I want? And sometimes we have done, you know, we've gone around the circle and thought about like things we're grateful for, or we've said something positive about ourselves. So it's not always kind of a critical or negative. Yeah. Not that I would say the critical conversations are negative, but sometimes we very intentionally try to talk about positive things as well. Yeah. And sometimes we planned like this for International Women's Day last year or the year before. We planned an event that we did at the Edmund Wright Center. So we do those kinds of like fun throwing ideas in discussions as well. But it's usually very organic. It's definitely based on, you know, our own experiences or something I've heard or something I've read. Mm. Something that was on the news, something that came up on social media, and generally someone will have something that they want to talk about. Yeah.
I think one of the most interesting things for me has been in this last year, we've had participants pre-send me messages asking if they can have the space to talk about a topic, which has been really interesting to see that go down, them kind of taking ownership and being like, I want to talk about this, will you give me the space to do it?
Yeah, and we also, and we haven't done this in a while, but one of the other things we do is kind of invite one of the participants to lead. So say that if they are really, you know, passionate about ethical fashion, or they're really passionate about a particular topic, to lead the discussion on that topic, or to kind of, you know, educate everyone in the group on what they know about that topic.
And we get female leaders from the community as well.
Yes.
So anyone who's doing something very cool,
yeah.
Sasanke has come down. You others come down and had a chat with us, because that whole if you can see it, you can be it also wanting to, I know that I meet people all the time nowadays and I just think, how did you know you could do that for a job, or how did you know you could be there?
Yeah.
So trying to bring that back and say there's so many opportunities you don't realize exist.
And the best thing is we always, most of the time they will box with us as well, so they'll get to know the girls through the boxing first, be as sweaty as we are, and then we'll all sit down on the mats and have a chat. And I feel like, because you know, there's a lot of kind of, maybe not a lot, but quite a few different mentoring older women talking to younger women projects, but I find the power dynamic of this group is very different to that kind of, I'm standing up on stage talking to you. This is like, you've done something hard, we've done something hard with you, now we're all going to talk about hard things together.
And because they don't normally know how to box, so you've got very young girls teaching CEOs of very large corporations how to box, and the CEO is failing at it, which is an amazing shift of the power dynamic, where you've got sort of 16, 17-year-old girls teaching them something, and that really puts it the other way. So by the time they come to talk, it's a very equal playing field.
I think that, yeah, that's really important for both the CEO and for the young girl. Mm. That experience is really important. Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. I reckon you guys are like experts at taking up space.
Yes, Betty. Take up all the space.
What do you think the future looks like?
For women?
Very, boards.
For everyone, very bright. I mean, just the last couple of weeks, like with the movement around climate change, and seeing how many young women are at the front of that movement, speaking, taking up space, being heard, being valued, has been absolutely like empowering for me. And I just feel like, you know, yes, there's a lot that needs to change, but there's a lot of people doing things, and it feels very positive to me, at least. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
anything to add?
Big question. I think that we have a choice. I just kind of, depending on how positive I'm feeling, I see two very different outcomes. Like, either we'll get this and we will create this outcome where, and it will be driven and led by young women who will create change as they're getting up further and further into power. Positions of power. It's the same thing we saw with the rise of the middle class, where you suddenly have buying power wins over anything else. So as young women are coming through and they're starting to do ethical fashion, and they're starting to force companies to bring in maternity policies and paternity policies and change the way they act, and I'm just hopeful that there won't be a backlash against it and we won't shut it down. But yeah, hopefully we'll win.
Yeah.
Also working in schools with even, I guess, younger girls and some of the girls that come to the Subiaco, the community group, I'm constantly kind of blown away by how fierce they are. Mm-hmm. And I just see, yeah, I see the next generation. I'm like, yeah, we've got this. Like it that often can be a very empowering thing for me as well.
Mm-hmm.
To, like, recently we talked just before the climate strike. We had a discussion about it in one of our groups, and I was the least knowledgeable person there, and I was the oldest person there. I was just like, whoa, these guys know their facts, they know, you know, they know their strategy, they were talking strategy, they were quoting like human rights articles. I was just so blown away. Moments like that can be really empowering to kind of looking to the future and making sure that still, I guess, as the second generation, my kind of role there is to make sure it's supported and nurtured and held as it moves forwards.
I'm gonna open up to you guys. Do you guys have any questions for these guys? Yeah.
Hi. I'm just curious, like, the community group and the different things you do sound awesome, but in terms of like it trickling forward, because obviously there's like a limited capacity, especially as like, I don't know how old the organization is, but like you can't provide for all we'd like to or have as many locations. So are there like any sort of like, I don't know what it is, like smaller scale things you do to like create a ripple effect or anything? People who are like in remote locations, or like getting the girls who come to like pass it on to other people? I mean, obviously that sort of happens on its own.
Yeah, I was going to say the ripple effect definitely happens. Like, I find that a lot of the girls that come to, maybe it's not, also the way it works is we often bring our friends. So that's how we've we've always grown that way, so the whole community will just kind of operate on people bringing through word of mouth, but also bringing a friend along. I was brought to boxing by my friend Claire, who is the other facilitator who works with me, so it's always kind of worked that way. But I think even outside of the boxing, the ripple effect of how we talk about ourselves and our bodies and how we assert ourselves definitely continues.
Yeah.
I see that happening. Like, I've changed the way I talk about myself in my other social circles, which has changed that, and, you know, it keeps going. In terms of reaching remote and regional, maybe you want to...
So we've been operating for 3 years now, and it's been unfunded, so we've done it ourselves. So there is absolutely a limit to our capacity, but it grows. We've tripled in size every year. And we are looking at how we can get regionally and remote. The reason why we work is because we developed a really unusual approach to what we were doing, but because of that, it's very difficult for us to replicate it. We have to go in and work with people and kind of get them to unlearn the way they've always done things. Say we're going to do it differently, we're going to hand over power to the participants, to very, very young girls, and let them create and shape the program, which teachers, social workers, this is something they're like, no, we're here to help them out and save them, and we're like, no, we're going to let them do it. So that's been our biggest challenge, is how do we effectively communicate that and get people to really understand the core of what we do. And because we are our really big focus on inclusivity, so with our imagery, with our words, everything we use, again, that takes a while to kind of teach and get people to be on board and buy in at the very sort of ethos level. So we are working on hopefully creating an online training platform where we'll be able to train trainers so that we can go regionally and remote without physically having to go there. But that's, yeah, absolutely. If you know of anyone who can help us make that happen.
I just think that's so empowering as well, because I'm only 23, but I'm like pretty sure I don't know what a 16-year-old needs, right? Like, if I try to like tell them what they need, like, they know better than us. Like, it makes so much sense to put the power in their hands.
Yeah.
Does.
Yeah, and also I think start with yourself. I think the reason why this worked was because I started with what I'd seen in my experience. So I tell to everyone when they come and question, any of the facilitators that ask me how should we approach this, what should we say, I'm like, what do you feel? Like, what was your experience of this? Just talk about your own story, and then other people, that creates space for other people to talk about their stories. And we talk about the stories that are really vulnerable or cost us something, it creates the space for someone else to come forward and say, yeah, I also had that experience.
Absolutely. It is very much about creating the space, I think. Sometimes it's people don't really need to be told what to do. People definitely don't need to be told what to do. It's just people need space to breathe sometimes, really. Yeah.
And like, I think if I've done a bit of like youth work and mental work, and like the more you're authentic, the more people just feel like they can be as well. Like, it's like,
yeah.
Teenagers especially have such a like strong bullshit radar.
Yes.
Like, any kind of like nervous, they're just like that.
Exactly. Yeah. And the reason why we talk about taking up space, so our hashtag is Claim Your Space, and it is a very physical, literal manifestation. When you come in boxing, whenever we see anyone start, they start like this, and everything they say, sorry, I'm sorry, I got made a mistake, I'm sorry. And we're like, no, physically, I want you to take up space. I want you to put your shoulders back. I want you to physically occupy all the space you need to make mistakes, to fail, to learn, whatever you need. Physically take up that space, and then when you get used to doing it in our safe space, as you go out into the world, take up space. And the more space you take up, the more space you create for others.
Mm. Yeah.
When you started this, how did you get over that fear of being vulnerable? I'm struggling at the moment trying to find the balance between wanting to be honest and authentic and vulnerable with people, but also not wanting to put myself in a position where I feel unsafe because of my own history.
Yeah.
How did you make that space for yourself so you could make the space for other women?
I think something I've been thinking about recently is that I've started to challenge some aspects of myself that are very deep-seated, but to do that, I've been in a place of psychological safety for 15 years. So I think that you have to give yourself time and space, to be safe for a very long period of time before you can start to unpick some of that. So maybe vulnerability is not the right way, as in, I was very much the pilot program for that. When I was a kid, I used to faint rather than talk to new people. So up until about 5 or 6 years old, and then I was nonverbal for new people until I was about 10. And I remember very distinctly the day, and this was not like strangers on the street, it's like aunts and uncles. If I hadn't seen you in a week and you came up, I would just faint and I wouldn't talk to you. So I still have massive anxiety, massive social anxiety, really intense self-crit critical voice. So I think that it's not always about fixing that so much as doing it with it. So I've recognized that for probably the rest of my life, I'm going to have to challenge that internal thing that tells me, you're not good enough, you made a mistake, you shouldn't do this, rah, 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 and be like, you know what, I'm going to do this anyway, even though I'm still going to have that continually playing just because I want to.
It also really helps to have other people that you trust with you. So I think what works in our space is that community. And yes, you can be a bit, like I always think of it as like this support, like this safety net that you can fall back on to be brave. So if you go out of that space and you do things that are hard and you have conversations that are hard, and sometimes you feel like, oh my gosh, like my boundaries have been broken, or like I feel really vulnerable, I can come back to Boxy, I can talk about it, and I have this safety net to kind of, you know, catch me, so it's not just me on my own struggling. It really helps to have a community to kind of hold you as you do that.
Yeah. And something about learning is the more you do something, the more it becomes okay to do it. So with something like being vulnerable, if you start in a really safe space and you're a little bit vulnerable, the more you do that, the more the neural pathways build and the more it becomes a comfortable thing to do. So give yourself that time.
Let's have one more question.
Do you think there's a need for a space for young men? I know they take a lot of time.
We have a secret boys program that we run. It's called the Young Boxing Warriors. I don't want to create this program because I think that what works about this is created by women for women based on our experience. And while I have a boys program running, I created it for women. Yeah. So I was like, if we want change to happen, it has to come to men. And so we have to be talking to them about what we need from them. But I don't think that starting a program for someone because you want them to change who they are is the best way to go about it. So I'm waiting for the male equivalent of me to show up and be like, go for it. So anytime, I get asked that a lot, anytime a guy comes up to me and is like, when are you doing one for boys? I'm like, anytime you start it, go for it.
So why is the one called for women but boys are called warriors?
Because YBW?
Okay.
Yeah. We've had lots of conversations about that. basically, it was called Young Boxing Women, and it was called that because we get excellent Google hits. Because if you have your business name be what you are, anytime people search up Google any version of Young Boxing Women Perth, we're the top hits. And then when we started a boys program, we needed to fit into YBW purely as a logo. So we needed a W word that worked with that.
All right, one more question, yeah?
when you talked about how you changed the way you talked about your body, can you be specific? Can you talk about how you talk about your body now? Because I think we all know how it would be before.
Yep.
And I guess the underlying question is, should we be talking about bodies at all? So that's where the question comes from.
Yeah. So really quickly, I'll preface this with saying that I grew up with hearing a lot of criticism about my body. Sometimes very direct and very like verbal criticisms of you're too big, you're too fat. But also very interestingly, a lot of the time people would say things like, "Oh, you're really strong for a girl," or like, and it was a little bit negative, like. I was like, I don't know if that's a compliment or if that's a... Well, what is this? So that's the kind of background I had growing up. And that often translates... But I was also... I love beautiful things. I love colour. I love being a woman. And I love expressing that. So that was really hard to kind of be sporty and athletic, but also not be allowed to do these things at the same time. So that was what I was struggling with, I think, the most, of being like, oh, my body doesn't look like a feminine body, you know? So it was, but that's changed. I absolutely recognize my body as a, you know, female body now. And the way I look at myself when I look in the mirror is much more like appreciating what I have and appreciating what it can do. So appreciating that I have this strength, that I have, that I can hold a... playing for a pretty long time. So things like that.
4 minutes, if you're wondering.
But it's, so that made, I think, but that's something that I would have never have even thought of as important before. And now, I think the big difference in how I talk about my body is that I do still talk about my body a lot. I'm like, do I talk about my body as much as I used to? But it's just that I honestly see the beauty now. It's not even like I'm trying to just, you know, maybe that took time. Maybe that was like years of kind of being like, oh, your shoulders look good, or like, you know, just kind of being complimenting myself. But now I just look at what I see and I like it and I appreciate it. In terms of should we be talking about our bodies? I'm a fan of body neutrality, which is more about like just not thinking about your body much, because I think sometimes, you know, that can take up so much mind space and you don't make up space for other things that you could be learning, you could be doing, or you could be talking about. But at the same time, I do think that for those of us that have gone through all that kind of trauma around our bodies, we definitely need to heal that part of ourselves. And to heal that part of ourselves, you need to love that part of yourself. So you have to talk about it, at least internally. But then, yeah, down the track, maybe I won't care as much. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think, like, while we live in a world that, like, hammers women with all these messages about how we look as our worth, and we're just going to get, like, no matter, like, where you are with your journey of body positivity, you're still going to get your friends saying stuff, or like, so I think it's like going to have a place until like hopefully that is over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have a no smack talk zone. It's one of our rules.
Yeah.
And you'll get called out on it a lot. And that is very much both a physical thing, if you say any version of, oh, I look fat in this, or oh, I don't like this, or, and a, there's so many times that we put ourselves down without actually saying anything, like, oh, sorry, I just, you know, I don't know if I should say this, or I don't know if I should, and so you'll get called out on both of those things. And it is very, as you mentioned earlier, it's now shocking when you walk into a different space, because we get so used to that type of talk being just absolutely not an existence, and how normalized it is for other spaces with women to continually put themselves down in different ways. But I do think that we should talk about our bodies, and I do think we should celebrate them. And I do agree with body neutrality, and that we, being pretty or attractive should not be the main focus of a body. And I think Claire's mentioned this once or twice as well, about shifting the focus to what your body can do and how you can exist and the pleasure that is in life. You know, seeing food as a pleasure source, seeing the sun, the beach. So many people like beach in your body and looks, but going, it is the most extraordinary experience. This ocean is so clear, the sun, the sand is fantastic. Let's talk about the sensory and how we experience life and how we go through life and enjoy it and see your body as this vessel to just have the most extraordinary life, rather than this, someone said recently, it's very easy to keep women under control as long as we've got them constantly focused on what they look like.
Yeah, I think if we could shift the language from what a body looks like to what it feels like, to what it can do, to what it represents sometimes, you know, like what taking up space, like the physicality of your body, what does that do? I think that's, and those are such interesting conversations, such interesting dialogue that we don't really have in public, you know.
Yeah, or you should just get older on that, like how it lets you live your life, like the stronger fitter you are, like the longer you can go dancing with your friends. Like, just
yeah,
get back.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
All right. I'm just going to ask you guys one last question. When do you guys feel like you're taking up space?
Ooh. I actually practiced the answer to this question this morning. I asked that. My housemate Zoe's here, we talked about this morning. I think I feel, the moment I feel most like I'm taking up space or taking up the space that I need to take is when there's a conversation happening in the room, and quite often I'll be the minority, so I'll be the only woman there, I'll be the only person of colour, sometimes I'll be the only woman of colour, you know, so it's, and I feel like there's a voice that's missing in the conversation. And I speak up and I say something, and quite often in my head, in the back, I'm sort of like, oh, you're being that girl, like the one that's, I have to really, like, you know, push that voice down. But afterwards, I'll have people come up to me and say things like, thank you for saying that, or that really was a really good point that, you know, I didn't think about. And then I was like, okay, I needed to take up that space. I needed to say something. So I think that's a moment when I feel like I've taken up the space that I need to take. Yeah.
Be that girl. Always be that girl.
Yeah.
I genuinely feel like I probably take up too much space. I'm very loud, I'm very opinionated. So I think what's interesting for me is trying to learn the balance of trying not to take up space in a weird way, and as well as, but trying to hold the space for others. So using what I have and my access to things and advantages to things, even speaking events or different things, and like opting in other people. So we've been doing this a lot recently, where I've gotten invited to be at an event or to work on something or access to something, and I've sent one of the other girls in my stead without always telling the organizers that I'm going to do that. So using. Taking up space in a way that I am using the space that I've been allowed to or had access to create space for someone else. And something Sarah said at our most recent panel, she talked about being the only woman of color, so going to an event, so trying to be conscious of things like that. So if I get tickets to something, buying two and sending two girls so they're not the only black girl in the room. Things like that, trying to really think about how we occupy space, what it looks like, how other people might be experiencing the space, and things we haven't seen or thought of.
Awesome. Did you guys have any more questions? Yeah?
I just wanted to add to that, because I'm the same, like, I like tend to be really loud, and so I always assume that if someone has something to say, like, they'll just shut up or whatever. But some people won't do that, and I've noticed in this mission, a lot of my, like, closer interpersonal relationships, like with family or friends, that I'm really trying to not speak or just like leave space, because if I'm just talking, there's not space for someone to like feel like they can just say something, because I'll feel like they just stop me or prevent me from talking. So I'm like trying to, like, I think it's really important to be who you are, but I'm trying to like pull back just to leave a bit more room for someone else.
Stretch the silence.
Do you have, as an organisation, a capacity to accept donations?
Yes. I've actually been told by my board this year that I need to get better at allowing people to give us money. We have probably the easiest way right now is if you go on our website, there is a thing where you can buy a pack of boxing classes to come along to boxing. Those are the paid for ones. And then that money creates space for them. But if you just wanted to give us a donation, you can use those same bank details to just give us money. It'd be great. But come to boxing.
I have two teenage daughters, and I'm listening to you guys, and I'm like, that would be perfect for my daughters. You know, they get heaps of feminist brainwashing at home. But, you know, as someone, and I looked at the classes, I'm like, I'd really like to go to that Sunday class, but I don't want to go then. And I'd like to send my daughters, but then I'd like to go, okay, well, I can afford to say, I can donate $100 now. You know what I mean? And I know other women who would be willing to do a similar thing, because they like to donate to places that empower young women.
Yes. I'm trying to get that set up, that we have some sort of a sponsorship or ambassadorship ability, basically, yeah. It's definitely something that I'm supposed to have done already. But
now there's incentive.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Well, are there any last questions, or shall we wrap it up? Let's wrap it up.